This is Radio Hangar, where the aviation conversation never stops. Good day. I'm Tower, and this is ATs, your aviation information service for the week. We've got a packed show today. A major European aviation trade show just pulled the plug with weeks to go. Boeing is back on top in the delivery race for the first time in years. United is rolling out its fanciest business class seat yet. And yes, we're going to take a look inside John Travolta's Flying Palace, because honestly, who doesn't want to know what that looks like? But first, let's get to the story that caught a lot of people off guard this morning. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSold.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSold.com. All right, here's what you need to know. The European Business Aviation Association has canceled EBACE 2026. That's the European Business Aviation Convention and Exhibition. And it was set to take place in Geneva in just a few weeks. Less than 2 months out, the whole thing is off. Now, if you fly general aviation in the States, you might think this doesn't affect you. But EBACE is one of the three big pillars of the business aviation trade show calendar globally, right alongside NBAA BACE here in the US. When a show of that stature gets canceled on short notice, it tells you something about the health of the business aviation market in Europe right now. Exhibitors were already committed, chalets were booked, travel was arranged, and then the European Business Aviation Association decided, apparently, that the turnout just wasn't going to justify the effort for manufacturers. This is a missed opportunity to showcase new products to the European buyer. For operators, it was a chance to network and negotiate, and for the broader industry, it raises a question. Is the European BizAv market softening, or is this more about the trade show model itself evolving? We've seen some of that here in the US too, where virtual events and private showcases are pulling attention away from the big convention floor. Either way, if you had plans to attend EBACE this year, those plans just changed. We'll keep an eye on whether the eBay reschedules or restructures for 2027. Let's pivot to a much brighter story for the commercial aviation world. Boeing has beaten Airbus on quarterly deliveries for the first time since the 737 MAX crisis. Let that sink in for a second. Boeing delivered 143 commercial aircraft in the first quarter of 2026. That's a significant number, and it was enough to edge out Airbus, which has been dealing with its own supply chain constraints. The headline doesn't tell the whole story, though. Boeing's surge was driven largely by the 737 line finally hitting a consistent production rhythm, after years of quality control overhauls, regulatory scrutiny, and the shadow of two fatal crashes. The 737 MAX program is producing airplanes at a pace that Boeing hasn't seen in a long time.
Now, does this mean Boeing is back? Not so fast. One quarter does not make a trend, and Airbus's shortfall had more to do with engine supply issues from its partners than with any fundamental weakness in demand. The A320neo family still has a backlog that stretches for years. But for Boeing employees, investors, and frankly the traveling public, this is a meaningful milestone. Consistent deliveries mean airlines get the airplanes they ordered, routes get staffed with newer, more fuel-efficient jets, and the supply chain stabilizes. For those of you flying general aviation, here's the indirect connection. When the big manufacturers are healthy, the entire aerospace supply chain benefits. Parts vendors, avionics suppliers, maintenance shops, a rising tide in commercial aviation tends to lift boats across the industry. So, a good quarter for Boeing. Let's see if they can string a few of these together. Now, let's talk about something on the airline side that might catch your eye if you fly long haul for business or pleasure. United Airlines is rolling out what they're calling Polaris Studio, and it's being described as the best business class seat the airline has ever offered. Polaris Studio is essentially a private suite with a door. We're talking a lie-flat bed, direct aisle access, enhanced privacy screens, and more personal storage than most studio apartments I've seen in New York. United is targeting this at the premium long-haul market, competing directly with what carriers like Qatar Airways, Singapore Airlines, and Emirates have been offering for years. The question everyone's asking is, what's it going to cost? And the answer, based on early route pricing, is that you're looking at a meaningful premium over the existing Polaris business class. We're talking potentially several hundred dollars more per segment on long-haul routes, like Newark to London or San Francisco to Tokyo. This affects you if you're a frequent business traveler weighing whether to stick with United or shop around. The product looks genuinely competitive with the best in the world. Whether the price premium is worth it depends on your travel patterns and your company's travel policy. For the rest of us who fly ourselves to the airport in a Cessna 172 and sit in economy, it's still fun to window shop. All right, now let's have some fun. John Travolta. The man is a licensed pilot, has been for decades, holds a private pilot certificate, instrument rating, and type ratings in multiple jets. This is not a celebrity who takes a lesson once and calls himself a pilot. Travolta is the real deal.
He has logged thousands of hours, and at one point, he owned and operated a Boeing 707 out of his home in Ocala, Florida. His house literally has taxiways connected to a private runway, but the airplane that's getting attention right now is his current pride and joy. Travolta's private jet setup is, to put it simply, what happens when a genuine aviation enthusiast has the resources to build exactly what he wants. We're talking about a cabin configured not just for comfort, but for someone who actually understands airplanes. The interior is luxurious, absolutely. Custom leather, premium materials throughout, a layout designed for long-range travel with family and friends. But what makes Travolta's setup different from your typical celebrity charter is the intentionality behind it. This is a man who walks around the airplane during pre-flight. He knows the systems. He's sat in the left seat on type-rated aircraft and hand-flown approaches. The airplane reflects that dual identity. It's a flying living room for the movie star and a serious machine for the pilot. And that's what makes the story interesting, at least to me. There are plenty of wealthy people with private jets. There are far fewer who could walk into a cockpit, run the checklist, and fly the thing themselves. For those of us in general aviation, Travolta has been one of the more visible ambassadors for flying. He's talked publicly about his love of aviation for years. He's shown up at Oshkosh. He's been involved with organizations that promote flying. Say what you will about the lifestyle, the man genuinely loves airplanes, and in an era where general aviation could always use more positive public attention, that counts for something. Now let me close with a story that's just plain fascinating from an engineering perspective. The Lockheed C-5 Galaxy, it is the largest military cargo aircraft in the world. This thing is enormous. It can swallow tanks, helicopters, and entire field hospitals through its nose and tail loading doors. It's been flying since 1970, and for most of its operational life, it did all of that with a steam gauge cockpit. No glass displays, no integrated flight management systems. Analog instruments, flight engineer panels, and a cockpit design philosophy that dates back to the late 1960s. Why? Because military procurement doesn't work the way commercial aviation does. When Boeing or Airbus builds a new airliner, the latest avionics are part of the sales pitch. But in the military world, upgrades happen on congressional budget cycles, and they're prioritized by mission need. For decades, the C-5's cockpit worked fine for its mission profile. It wasn't flying crowded airways competing for fuel efficiency. It was hauling outsized cargo between military airfields with crews specifically trained on that airplane. The upgrade finally came with the C-5M Super Galaxy program, which gave the airplane glass cockpit displays, new engines, and modernized systems. But the fact that it flew for roughly four decades with original analog instrumentation tells you something about how differently the military evaluates the cost-benefit equation of avionics upgrades compared to the civilian world. If you've ever complained about the avionics in your panel, just be grateful you're not trying to fly a 400,000-pound airplane on round dials from the Johnson administration. All right, that's our show for today. Today's stories were sourced from AOPA, Simple Flying, and AeroTime. As always, we encourage you to read the full reporting from those outlets for the complete details. Links and source credits are available at radiohanger.com. Radio Hanger is an AI-generated broadcast built by pilots who care about getting the details right. Every segment credits its sources, and we're always transparent about how this show is made. I'm Tower. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. Whether you're in the flight levels or in the pattern, stay sharp, stay current, and we'll see you next time. Radio Hanger, clear skies and tailwinds.